Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
It's I'm getting over my developer conference hangover now. I feel like a little bit, but this week was, I don't know. I think it was always this way. I ask myself, like, did I get worn out by the developer conference? You know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and I think the answer is yes. I think there's a hangover after something like that, and I was feeling it this week. I had a couple of days where I was not particularly motivated or energetic to do anything of any kind anywhere.
Yeah, the struggle for me is always about trying to find distill stuff, right? You know, week or, you know, so after you've had all this information dumped on you and, you know, you've been feverishly running around trying to like write up stuff. And a lot of that first week I feel like takes the you know, you have more stuff where it's like trying to dig up things,
right,
that like you hadn't seen before or hadn't been mentioned. And then the week after is a lot of like synthesis stuff where you're like sitting around. And I always struggle a little bit more with some of that, with like trying to like, let me sit here and think big thoughts.
Well, yeah. And if you're trying to write things, it's like, well, I can't write about the synthesis of big thoughts, right? That doesn't make sense, right? That you kind of need to take a step back. But at the same time, I also don't want, like, even though we posted a lot on the site last week, I kind of don't want the site to be empty this week. But it is a struggle, because what I really want to do, and we'll probably do today, is spend some time just using I've been using the iPadOS beta a lot, but I want to spend some more time with the Mac beta. So that's a thing that I'm going to try to do today. But again, it's one of those things where spending time considering a beta is not visibly, I know I've talked about this here before, but it's like, it's not visibly productive. And I have, and with six colors, I definitely have this conflicting set of goals, which is I need to do the work to lay the groundwork to do stuff later on in the summer when the public beta comes out and when the final comes out. But at the same time, you risk having nothing happen above the waterline, and people are like, well, where did you go this week? There were no posts to the site this week. Why is that? And the answer was, I'm working in the background. Is that satisfying or not? Or I'm on vacation. I am going on vacation and you're going on vacation. I really don't know what the site's going to look like when we're both on vacation at the same time, which is going to happen. So, yikes.
Yeah,
I wonder if Stephen Hackett's got some, have him toss off a post or
he's
two.
Got some work to do.
I don't know. I mean, Federico does this with the iPad OS review, the iOS review every year, is that, you know, in the summer, Mac Stories readers don't see a lot of Federico. Like, he just goes away. And I admire that. But, you know, he's got John, at least. And I think there's somebody, is there somebody else writing for them? Anyway,
there's the other people.
He's got other people to kind of like do stuff and keep the trains running while he's off at the beach writing about iOS. But I don't know. It's I feel that this week is one of those times where I really feel that, where it's like, like you said, you kind of need to process, and processing isn't writing. So in the end, I wrote this piece that I had two pieces that I had floating around in my head this week. Neither of which was my Macworld post this week, not to cast aspersions on my Macworld post this week, but you know, they can't all be gems, folks. And one of them came out. Originally, I was going to write a thing that was like my grand conspiracy theory of iPad multitasking. And I ended up backing off of that and just doing the globe key, which is just like, it's a little thing. It's like a tidbit. It's a trend. It's a thing Apple's doing. And as I was using the beta, I was like, oh, this is what they're doing. It's a global, are you getting it yet? Global keyboard shortcut.
Right.
And I thought, I hadn't seen a lot about that out there, and I thought, well, I'll throw that up there, because I feel like that's an interesting little sort of second week observation from out of the beta, is that Apple added a new modifier key for all of the global keyboard shortcuts on iPads.
It's such a weird, it's in some ways it's clever, and in some ways it's just like they got lucky sort of serendipitously, because like that key has been there for years, and
it used to be international keyboard.
And
they repurpose it for emoji.
And now they've repurposed it, even though it still works for emoji, they've also repurposed it for the global shortcuts, which is a little weird, because those of us who, you know, obviously came from a Mac background are used to the command key being global, just depending on what keys you hit. Well, and that's still sort of the case, but they've added a bunch of extra stuff.
Yeah, And my at least speculation, because I haven't talked to anybody at Apple about this, but my speculation about this is that essentially the existing modifiers are so entrenched and that app developers want to kind of echo them in their iPad apps, as well as, you know, they want to echo what you do on the desktop. And I think Apple didn't want to build a system by which you had to register a global keyboard shortcut and override app shortcuts or have your global shortcuts disappear and stuff like that. They didn't want to go down that route, which is how the Mac works, right? Like, if you want to set a global keyboard shortcut and an app is using it, it's bad. Like, the app doesn't do it, or they both run, or it's bad, right? There's a collision there. And yeah, it looks to me like they looked at this globe key and they're like, you know, we can just reserve that. And it's not going to override anybody's existing app keyboard shortcuts. And I have been thinking for a while now, like, I really want global keyboard shortcuts on the iPad because I want media controls. I want to be able to play and pause my music. And on the Magic Keyboard, there are no function keys, right? I want to be able to do that, or adjust the backlight of the keyboard, or run a shortcut that it runs anywhere because it's globe and then modifiers to do something, right? And like, it makes more sense to put that in its own little universe like that. But you're right, they stumbled into it. I also had several people, I had a footnote about this and I took it out because I was like, oh, I don't want to open this can of worms. And immediately somebody said, do you think they'll put it on the Mac? And it's like, it's already on the Mac. Like, if you have a recent, a late model Mac, there, that globe key is in the bottom left corner, and it's the function key.
Yeah,
the
exactly. If you don't, like, I've got a old Magic Keyboard here, and it's got the function key, and laptops have had the function key for a long time.
And that's it.
It's possible. I'm not convinced, because I think most of the stuff that they do on iOS using that is stuff that the Mac doesn't have.
So I'm not convinced
that they would change that. And I think it would be a bigger change too, because the function key does still get used for a lot of things. Like, I use it on my keyboard because I don't have dedicated page down, page up keys. Function up to arrow, down arrow has always been page up, page down. And function left arrow and right arrow have always been home and end. And I don't think they necessarily want to mess with that.
Little quick tips there for people who don't know.
There you go.
Sometimes
there
people don't know. Yes. And I agree about that. It's probably not going to be used in that way, but I don't know, right? Like, who knows? It's interesting that it's there, but they may, I mean, like, on the Mac, I could see them choosing to put a whole globe key layer of Mac things and basically say, look, we're reserving this for the system, essentially, and for system-wide, and this is what we think. I could see them doing that over the course of many years, but it's going to be right, because saying function G or function H or something like that is like, those aren't things that anybody's using, so they could establish that, but it doesn't feel necessary to me, and if they do it, it'll probably take years, and that's fine. I mean, it's more necessary on the iPad.
Right, I agree, because the iPad has a shortage of other things that you can do there, right? Like, that is a there have always been limitations, because it wasn't a, although it was funny, because, you know, I think Mike on Upgrade was saying this week about, like, it had been, you know, oh, the iPad, the hard smart keyboard's been there forever, and I was like, there were Bluetooth keyboards, the first version of the iPad had a
hardware keyboard,
keyboard you could put on it, right? So it's like, that's always been there.
Orientation.
So weird. It's always been there. Like, they always kind of, I think there was a tacit acknowledgement at some point, like, that they didn't feel like they could get away from the hardware keyboard immediately, and then that they kept trying to shove it away eventually kind of ceded, we can't do it.
They tried to run away, but they couldn't. Anyway, that was what I managed to scrape up, although I do have the bigger thing that I'll write at some point about where I think Apple's going with multitasking, because I do feel pretty strongly that it's going to happen, like, more rich multitasking on iPad OS, and then it may even happen midstream like the pointer did, because they got all the pieces there. The fact that globe key shortcut too, it's wild the amount of stuff you can do. You can, like, flip apps into slide over and flip them out again and put them left and right and go full screen and, like, do all of this stuff just using the keyboard. And on one level, by the way, that's a good accessibility feature. That's not even an accessibility feature, it's just a feature, but it's good for accessibility. If you have issues with touching the screen and moving things around, you can do that all from the keyboard now, which is great. But all of us who are typing, I had somebody yesterday, some smarty, when I wrote about wanting to control volume of my music on the keyboard, they're like, I used to think that too, but then I realized I could press the up and down buttons on the iPad to change the volume. I was like, yeah, but I don't want to take my hands off the keyboard, you see. That's right. The thing. Right. I don't want to take my hands off the keyboard. I know there are volume buttons up there, but they might as well be in another country when I've got my hands set on the keyboard and I'm trying not to reach, you know, take my hands off the keyboard. So it's good for accessibility, but it's also good for anybody who's just kind of like motoring along on the keyboard.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge I've had, and I've been only using the beta for a day or two on the iPad, is... it is a whole new set of keyboard shortcuts to learn.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And like, and you're like, oh, no.
And they're weird and they're counterintuitive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's nice that they have the overlay thing that pops up and like, and like, so you can like flip through it and as you learn, sure. Right? In the same way that you would learn stuff on a Mac, mm-hmm. by going to the menus. But it is also a whole new set of stuff that you're like, okay, I can do this via the keyboard now, but I need to start training my brain to use those shortcuts instead of perhaps reaching up to the screen some of the times. And then about half the time, you're just going to get frustrated because the time it takes you to bring up that thing, scroll through it, and like find the shortcut. It's like, oh, I could have done it already, right? Like,
yeah.
So it takes time. You just got to do some remapping.
The one thing that they did remap, or they did not require a remap, they used from the Mac, that also is part of my conspiracy theory, is Command Backtick.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a classic cycle through
Windows,
all
yeah.
the Windows on your Mac, right? You open up a bunch of Windows and then you Command Backtick through all of them. And that's there on the iPad. And if you're just in split view, it does exactly what you'd think, which is it moves from the one to the other and back again so you can change focus. But if you open like a different window or you have a slide over, or I think this works with Quick Note, anything that's like on the screen that has focus, that or can have focus, it will cycle through them. And I'm like, they're so close to just pulling off of the grid, especially anytime you touch that little three-dot thing and slide it somewhere, you're like, whoa, wait, this is a window now. And then you let go and it goes somewhere and it's not a window anymore. But like, it's so close. But that was one of my moments, that Command Backtick thing, where I'm like, oh, look at that. Like, it's muscle memory on the Mac. And they just put it in there. And they're not even using the globe key for that one. It's just because it's already in there. Like, everybody knows that is a thing that you can do on the Mac. And now you can do it on the iPad, too. So really interesting to see where they go with it. But I feel like they've got some big plans there. We just don't know all about it yet.
The one thing I do miss is, and this at least on the smart keyboard that I'm using, is the lack of an escape key.
Oh, it kills me.
I always want to use it to be like, oh, I need to get out of this. Escape will always get me out of something. And, you know, it's not there. It makes me sad.
You can map the caps lock to escape, which a lot of people have done and I have done.
Sure.
You can do command period, which is the classic cancel a print job from classic Mac OS. It still cancels almost everything on Mac OS. You can do that too. But yeah, I was thinking the other day when I was using... I don't know what app, Twitterific maybe, and on the new OS beta, and I had that moment where I thought, you open a web view, you tap on a link in Twitterific, it opens a web view in the app, and I think, how do I get out of this? And it's like, you could hit escape, you could hit command period, you could hit command W,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, that's too many things, that's too many ways to do this. There should probably be like a one way that you close something like that, but none of them worked, by the way. So
right. Well, very exciting. Yeah, we're still getting used to that.
Yeah, but it's I don't know. It's interesting, and it's early days, right? And again, it's early for its first beta. So the other thing I don't want to do is write something. Talk about like thinking of things to write. I don't really want to write a thing that's sort of like a judgment about something that's in a first beta, especially if I figure like I'm going to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt before the public beta, certainly, and then as the process goes along before they go final. Like, Apple has the opportunity to tweak things and fix things, and you know, I think with Safari especially, they're going to probably have to do some tweaking and fixing, because I think that it's kind of broken. and a bad idea in a lot. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, but like I'm not ready to like write a thing about like why doesn't it have this thing, because it's like it's developer beta one, man. Like
there's
a lot of room to go before we get to have to, you know, decry it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it is always, as we talked about, I think many years in the past, like the trickiness with using betas is always trying to adapt your workflow, right? Like sitting down and be like, I'm going to use the beta now, right? Yeah. Like is not an approach that goes very well because you're not using it in a way that you would normally use things.
You got to use it like you use your computer or iPad or iPhone. Right. Otherwise, you're not using the beta.
I do find it helpful to go through the like the list of Apple's feature stuff and just like
do them.
Like, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do everything at least once. So you're like, okay, that thing's there. Let me think about how I would use that and then sort of file it away. Like the keyboard shortcut with stuff we're talking about was like, all right, let me remember that you can make a new quick note with Globe Q and just file that away for the next time
Globe
I need
Q.
to do that.
That's right.
Yeah, or just like, hey, I know that when I have, like, for example, this is the one I tried out this morning that was like, I want to try the thing where iCloud lets you hide your email, you know, and generates a random email. I was like, I got to sign up for an account somewhere. And I just spent like a solid 5 minutes thinking like, I need a site where I can go sign up for an account. Preferably a stupid site that I'm not going to use that I don't already have an account for. It just like took me a solid 5 minutes to come up with something because there are just every site I think of off the top of my head is like, well, I go to that site all the time. I have an account for it. I don't want to create another stupid account. But it is hard to sit down with the express purpose of like trying out all the features because some of them are things that you really only get a feel for after you use them or find a way to sort of organically fit them into stuff that you do.
Yeah, it's a challenge with betas. I also do
shortcuts is a great example of that because it's like, let me make a shortcut. And it's like, well, to do what? And it's like, okay, I got to think of a thing I need a shortcut for and then see if I can do it.
Yeah. It's true. And also, shortcuts are really kind of broken in the betas. But
yeah.
That's the other part
issues.
Of it. There are some issues there for sure. I actually was thinking of, I wanted to do a new shortcut for my, that to run on my watch that gives me the current temperature from my weather station. And I realized I needed to build that on the not beta version of shortcuts it's not gonna, cause it crashes and it's a beta. It's fine. They rewrote it in Swift UI. They're still working on it. It's okay. I wanted to mention, so you wrote a quick tip about doing a ping and timestamping it. You are having network issues that are sporadic in your house. We're actually talking to each other. Your Mac is directly connected to your cable modem because you're trying to isolate whether it's your networking equipment outside of the cable modem or whether it's fundamental to your connection. And that went into the behind the scenes. That's why Dan is timestamping a ping. And then also, as an aside here, we found something that was broken on our website.
How the sausage is made.
As a part of this, which is that to get the timestamp, you have to do --- Apple dash time after the ping command in the terminal. And our helpful CMS turned that into an M dash, which is not what you want. And
not a thing.
And it turns out that there is a smart parser that does the right thing with code and doesn't convert it. But there's also the markdown parser that doesn't, and they interact in a way where if you put those backticks like you can in markdown around code, which is a very nice little, instead of writing out the code tag, it doesn't ignore those minuses and turns them into a dash. But as Dan found out, which is great, I filed a bug ticket and I was talking to WordPress about it. And then Dan's like, oh. And I had tried some things, but I hadn't tried it. What you did, which is you put code tags around it, and it actually.
Well, and I had to turn them into HTML entities too. Yeah,
and then that was the trick.
So that's always an issue.
You did code followed by numbered entities. That's right, because I tried code, but I was trying named entities, and that didn't do it. But you did a numbered entity, and we got it. Anyway, it was a moment where people were like, "That doesn't work." And it was like, "Oh yeah, you don't really want an M dash in the terminal." But good luck with your network issues. I mean, that's I had some similar ones, and it's really frustrating to try to nail down what is the culprit.
It's such a problem because, A, everything is time-consuming in testing it, right? Because if it's intermittent, you got to wait for it to happen. And then B, there's so many moving pieces that trying to isolate things and try to figure out what the issue is also troubling. And at the same time, you're trying to do all your work, which might require you to be on the internet. And for me, the biggest problem is that the stuff that is most susceptible to network interruption is VoIP stuff. And I have to use, you know, Skype and Zoom and all this stuff for many, many things I do every week. And that's the stuff that's the most sensitive, because when you start having problems and losing packets, if you're just trying to access a web page, it's frustrating, but you reload or something and it'll work. But if you're trying to have a real-time conversation with somebody and parts are dropping out, or your voice sounds like a robot, or you get disconnected, it is infuriating. And it just makes it really hard to do your job. And so that is why I've been really annoyed, because for so long, I feel like my network connection was just absolutely just solid. It was rock solid. And then for the last few months, it has been super shaky. And I don't know what changed.
Yeah.
I can't tell if a piece of hardware went bad. I can't tell if... I have this weird conspiracy, theory where I'm like, I wonder if just something on the network is causing problems. Like there's some device that is doing something that it shouldn't be doing, and that is causing interruptions. Because I have all these things where it's like, well, I swapped one Eero base station for another Eero base station. By all logic, if the Eero were the problem, swapping the base station should have fixed it. And it didn't. And so it's like, well, either there's a firmware problem on Eero's side, or there's some other device sitting on the network that, say, every once in a while is like, it could be something like a compromise. There was a whole thing for a while back there where IoT devices could get compromised, right? And then be used as like platforms for launching DDoS attacks. And it's like, well, it could be something there where it's like there's a device on the network which has been compromised, and every once in a while it decides to like send out a flood of information that drags everything to a halt. How would you know that? I have no idea. I have no idea how I would figure that out. But it is infuriating. There's nothing that makes me angrier. I know this is so silly in some ways, right? Because like, it's the old bit about like, we live in an age of marvels, and then we get so upset when like, right, we can't get our, airplane Wi-Fi.
But you do videos and podcasts, and losing a real-time connection, even if it's super fast, but every so often it just stops for 30 seconds, that's catastrophic, actually, if you're doing a podcast or a video. Yeah, yeah,
it's very bad. I have things where just Zoom would kick me off. I was doing a show yesterday, and it's like,
wow,
Zoom just died, and I sat there, and I was like, well, I hope my co-hosts just sort of keep rolling, because there's nothing I can do about this. And it means that when I have like a bootleg that I'm recording, I was doing the rebound this week and I recorded the bootleg, and the bootleg had a solid 2 to 3 minutes of dead on it. Because I'm recording it, and it's just, you could probably hear me, but I would just be swearing a lot.
Yes.
But you can't hear Lex and John, because I can't hear them either.
So how are we doing so far today?
Amazingly, it seems like, so I've been running a ping in the background while doing this. I'm up to about 1275 pings. I did have one blip where I dropped about 4 packets in a row and then had a high ping time. But other than that, that's still more than I would like, and it shouldn't be dropping packets, but it's not doing anything where it's like dropping packets, left and right. If I finish my, I'll conclude my ping here when it hits 1300, and then I can tell you exactly what my stats are.
Live pinging, it's a new podcast feature.
Live pinging. Yeah, I mean, I dropped 4 packets, and I had one high ping, I think, of about 580, which is higher than it should be. I'm just pinging comcast.net since they're my ISP.
Yeah.
That's not terrible. I would prefer to have 0 packet loss, obviously, but it's not enough to make me think that the modem is the issue, because it's like, the problems I've had feel like they have been more widespread. And I feel like talking to you, this connection has been much clearer than it has been for some of our podcasts in the past, where we kind of had to, like, I've had to work past hearing blips or something like that and just sort of go with it. But this has seemed, I don't know about your end, it seemed very clear and very consistent to me.
Yeah, there was one moment where I felt like there was like a little blip, and that might have been your packet drop, but that was about it. Well, I guess we'll just keep investigating.
Yeah. I'm going to keep trying, and there have been some very helpful suggestions in the Slack as well, which I appreciate. I do, I spent a while as an IT person and doing like this kind of stuff, but I also know that my expertise tops out at a certain level, right? I can troubleshoot really common things, but when they start getting super esoteric, I think what I've learned from this, Jason, and what I have taken away as my lesson is I really kind of miss my Airport Extreme.
Yeah.
Which ran for like a decade and was never, I never had a problem with it. And, you know, I there are some very positive things about it, but it is definitely has that black box moment where it's like, well, I think something's going wrong. Could be in the Aero, and I just don't know what to do about it. Like, there's not much. You were saying right before we recorded, I think, that you just swapped out an Aero at one point to fix a problem.
Yeah.
And it's like, if that's the option, I guess, but I have two. It seems like one of them ought to work. And I do wish that Apple continued, like, still made routers, and yeah. I would just buy one of theirs. I would feel very good about it. Well, but alas.
And you're about to move, so there's also this idea of, like, could you just, you know, nuke the site from orbit and put new things,
sure.
new cable modem, new, you know, new everything.
Just replace and, all my
in
infrastructure.
A new place and see if you can just, like, exorcise the demons.
Absolutely. It's just a question of expense, right? Yeah. Like, you know, the Euros aren't cheap either. That's the other downside. It's like they're not, you can get a much cheaper router.
Yes.
If you're willing to do a little bit more, you know, technical stuff and, in setting it up.
And have one of those big,
yeah,
you know,
I don't want that.
They're really
like
ugly.
Stealth fighter alien ships.
I did end up buying a new Aero and decommissioning my first gen Aero, and that seems to have settled my network down, but who
both
knows?
Both of mine are fairly recent. I only bought my first one like last year, I think, right around the time, right before the pandemic started. So these aren't old. So
that's weird. It
weirded me out. Weirded me out.
Networks.
So
how do they work?
Anybody listening who has a connection with Aero and wants to hook me up, I will not say no.
Yeah, although, yeah, we'll see. If you have drop packets soon on this direct connection, then you're going to be like, gah. It's
but we replacing a modem is cheap. That's $80 bucks. You know, it's not great, but I can do it. And I had this one for a couple of years, so you know, fine. I'll eat that $80 if it fixes the problem. But what I don't want to do is spend like a couple hundred bucks and have it not fix the problem.
Yeah,
that would be frustrating.
That would be no good. I did that. I bought a new router and set it up and I had the same problem and I tore it back down and sent it back to Amazon. I was like, nope.
Yeah, I know. That's on the list. That's on the list of possibilities is the buy a router for a week, see if it fixes the problem. If it doesn't, send it back.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll be back next week with more, presumably, unless we're just lost in deep thought. It could happen, I suppose. But
sure.
Otherwise, until then, until your packets drop. May your packets not drop, Dan. May your packets
thank you. The traditional blessing of our people.
That's right. May your packets return to you in time, short time. Mm-hmm. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.